You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Have you done any Lady and the Tramping at all, ever?
I'm sure I have.
I have done it.
It's not great.
If there's a sauce,
if there's a sauce, yeah, because then the sauce, it has to go somewhere.
And you have to, like, trust that the person on the other end is, like, going at the same speed as you. Otherwise, it's just, it's a mess.
And just, then they're waiting for you.
Right. Yeah, and then are you going to kiss with half-chewed stuff in your mouth? Or are you going to swallow?
Not French kiss.
Maybe not. Maybe yes. Right.
Maybe you have.
Maybe I have.
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's duck out together. See what it's all about.
Ducking out, ducking out, ducking out, ducking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that doesn't need to be spotted with Cara Delevingne for people to know it's gay. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're dyking out with producer, writer, Sammy Junio. So excited. Hey, Sammy.
Hi, Sammy. We're so excited to be dyking out with you today.
Hey.
Before we dive into it, a couple of announcements. You know, we're so sorry. Last week we said go and buy tickets to our Stonewall show, and it already sold out. So thanks everybody for really jumping on the May show, and we're excited for that coming up. We'll keep you posted on future shows. And just a quick reminder that we do have a Patreon, and that is what keeps us going week after week, is support from listeners like you. Sammy, why should people join our Patreon?
Oh, because your content is so nice and dollars help.
Dollars help.
Thank you. What a pitch. You heard it from Sammy. If you don't join the Patreon, it's like a personal diss now to Sammy.
Mm-hmm, it really is.
Because they'll think that you don't trust their judgment.
Yeah.
And we don't want that.
No.
We don't want that for our new friend Sammy.
And I hold a grudge.
Oof.
And you look tough. Like, I wouldn't want to be on your bad side.
Yeah,
I'm just saying you have tattoos.
Yeah,
I have tattoos for now.
Unfortunately, all my tattoos
looks like
are
you're wearing a jumpsuit.
Adorable. No, it's just a top
that looks like a jumpsuit.
Yeah, it does go to my knees. I'm a very small person.
Okay.
But still could kick ass.
True.
Non-patron ass. Okay. Let's move on to our gayest things of the week. Shall we?
Yeah.
Carolyn.
Still recovering.
Ugh, yeah, I think I know yours, but...
Yep.
Carolyn, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
Well, the gayest thing I did this week was I ate too many oysters. And what makes it gay? I mean, I think that eating oysters as a woman feels like very gay. I was also getting oysters with another gay, and this gay's name was Susan. So we love a gay Susan. So many. Just a couple lesbians overindulging on oysters. It was an oyster happy hour. We got carried away. I hadn't eaten much that day, and I had a show at Union Hall. So I downed like 20 oysters, and I get to Union Hall, and I am shaking.
You looked and shook on your face, and your hands were shaking when I walked into Union Hall last night.
The only way I can describe it, like, this is what I imagine it would feel like to be on meth, but only the bad parts. Like, just the bad parts of meth. Haven't done meth yet, but that, like, I felt like I was crawling out of my skin. I was shaking uncontrollably. I was like trying to dance it off. I'm just like, what's happening with me? And then when I Googled it, it was like, oh, there's actually a toxin in oysters that can make you very ill and you shouldn't eat that many of them. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I was worried. I'm like, did they get these out of the Gowanus Canal? Where did they come from? Am I going to start vomiting on stage? What is going on? It all turned out okay. I survived, made it to the after party, made it to Good Judy. I think I flushed it. I was like also just drowning myself in water, trying to flush out whatever was going on. But that's my gayest thing. Melody, what's your gayest thing?
My gayest thing is, I'm going to say karaoke. I did karaoke twice in 1 week, and that's not even how gay it gets, okay? The first one was for a birthday party. We rented out a room in Koreatown and had a blast. And then the second time I did karaoke in 1 week was at the Rosemont after I had a show there on Monday nights. They have karaoke. Now,
A gay show. Just to
set
it up. It's already gay.
It's like a Grindr show too. It's very gay. But
like sponsored by Grindr. It's not just like people are meeting on Grindr and coming to the show.
It's not just me like ruining date vibes for the Grindr demo. At the first karaoke party, I did Take Me or Leave Me from Rent with my lover, Allie. I thought it'd be hilarious because I was drunk. I only do karaoke drunk. And I did it confidently. I played Joanne. I sang Joanne's parts.
That's what I would have thought.
Yeah. Allie was Maureen.
Yes.
And then cut to the Rosemont show. We stayed after the comedians and karaoke started happening around us. We thought we have to do it. Now, I was sober for this one. And I was telling Kendall Payne, friend of the show, Dyke, that I would want to do karaoke with her. And so I thought it'd be funny if we did Take Me or Leave Me again. And this time I was sober. And it is a wildly different experience to not only like the confidence I had, drunk Mel, to do Take Me or Leave Me, like Broadway. Like, come on. Like, it was so difficult. It was so humiliating to do sober. Like, and then she told me I could be Maureen because I was a little bummed that I realized she gets a lot more time in the song and I wanted that time.
Well, and with Kendall's the more butch. Yeah. So that goes so to Joanne. Yeah.
But it was an uphill battle. It's so funny that I have video footage of me from the karaoke birthday party where I'm drunk and singing it so confidently, like having fun, but like sober. There's video of that too. My voice is cracking. I'm shaking. I'm sweating. I'm So,
Sammy, would you ever attempt Take Me or Leave Me at karaoke?
I don't even know what that song even sounds like. I think I only know one part of a Rent song. Sorry.
Okay.
Do you want to sing
it
now?
It's a duet between two lesbian lovers.
Okay. I think you guys should do it. Really? In sing song?
Yeah, they're kind of like duking it out in song. Look it up, everyone. If you don't know, pause the pod. Look up Rent. Take Me or Leave Me. Feel bad for me. Feel secondhand embarrassment for me. You'll see, Sammy, when you look it up immediately after this recording.
I will absolutely do that for sure.
Okay.
Wait, you said you only know one part maybe of a Rent song, and I feel like there's an obvious one, but for some reason I think maybe it's like a sleeper. What is it?
It's the one with all the numbers, whatever that is.
Yes.
Okay. That's the one that I would normally assume. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, all right. Guys. Real sorry.
That's okay. Do you karaoke?
I do karaoke with my whole heart.
What's your go-to before we ask you your gayest song?
If You Could Only See by Tonic.
Oh, that's a great
that's
one.
Really good.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
That's a great choice. Melody, sorry to edit your gayest thing, but you forgot to mention that you and Kendall also sang the lesbian national anthem, which is What's Up by Four Non Blondes.
That's true. I know. You saw that on Instagram, didn't you?
I did.
That's going to go to my list. I think I'm going to start a notes app with a list of songs that I would want to do, because I was so overwhelmed. At the first party, there was a catalog, but at the second location for karaoke, it was just a karaoke DJ looking up whatever we wanted karaoke version on YouTube, like any song we wanted karaoke version and search. And that was even more overwhelming. Like,
right.
I get like paralyzed with anxiety. I don't know what to pick.
You
and
definitely
so I
need
pick
a list.
Something way out of my league.
Yeah, no, you definitely need a list, and then you need to keep updating it as you go. Like, I tried No Scrubs once and I'm like, oh, the chorus repeats forever at the end, and it's like half the song is so boring to do, so I'm like, no more No Scrubs.
Someone did Like a Prayer, and that really repeats
it lingers,
on the way
it
out
lingers. You gotta cut it off. All right, anyway,
but I feel like you just have to commit, though. When you choose those songs in karaoke, if you're not fully committed, then why are you doing it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, fully tried vibrato as my voice was cracking out outrageously out of my octave. Still tried to sell it.
I think the one, like, what is it? Total Eclipse of the Heart is the one that I'm like, I don't have this range, but I'm committing so hard to it.
I'm just going to do Robin every time. It gets people really into it. Like, people came from the front end of the bar to the back room once they heard it on. Like, nothing brings a group of queers together like dancing on my own.
Oh, that's true.
I was going to say Show Me Love.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Any Robin song.
Here's a question. When you're choosing a karaoke song, do you go for, like, something that showcases your voice or something that you know will, like, bring the house down as far as, like, experience for everyone else?
That's a good question. I'm only thinking about myself. But now, after seeing another comic, Sam O, LA comic, so funny, did the Robin song and really like got everyone dancing. Like, it turned into like a club immediately, from gay bar to gay club.
Beautiful.
So gotta take that note.
I think it's a mix. Yeah, I think What's Up by Four Non Blondes is always a crowd pleaser. People love that. And then I used to do Biz Markie's Just a Friend, and that also was one.
That's nice.
I don't do it anymore. Yeah.
But just coming out of you is so funny.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm adding a little spin on it. And then other than that, I can just do like a kind of close Gwen Stefani impression, and I'm usually just doing No Doubt songs in Gwen Stefani voice.
Nice. What about you, Sammy? Are you thinking about, are you reading The Room?
I'm generally,
or are you just taking the stage?
I'm reading The Room, taking the stage, but I don't sing very well, and then it gets worse during karaoke, so I'm just like, I'm doing it for the fans. I'm doing it for The Room. Performing my heart out. I don't think there's any time that I've ever done karaoke where I'm not, where I don't end up like standing on a table or laying down on the ground.
Ooh.
So all about style, not substance necessarily. I like that.
Put that on my tombstone. Choice. Yeah.
Yeah. You should do Strike a Pose. Or Vogue, sorry. Strike up. I said that in front of Carolyn, Madonna
super fan.
I know,
like, is that the Weird Al cover? What are you?
Well, Sammy, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
Ooh, there are a few things. I have a crush who does not live in Los Angeles, and her birthday was yesterday, and I got things to send to her, and then I obsessively tracked it on FedEx, and I intentionally made it so that it was a signature required, so I knew when she was going to get it, and I think that that's probably the gayest thing I've ever done.
That's so gay. The tracking.
Just, oh, wait.
The signature
maybe cut
required.
That out. She might listen.
Okay.
If you can cleanly cut out that I purposely did this signature required, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Otherwise, keep okay. it in.
That's my favorite part.
I know. Yeah. You know what? Keep it in. She knows. Well, she knows now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This could only accelerate things.
Maybe.
Yeah. When we're saying when we're saying crush, I don't know how much you want to get into it in case she is listening, but is this somebody, like, has anything happened yet?
Yeah, we went on a date.
People have different definitions. Okay.
When I was
But
in
she doesn't
town.
Live in LA.
No.
Yeah.
So that's already very gay. Long distance.
Right, which is something I vowed to very never less. Do again. But here's a crush.
Again, I'm making all these mental notes for later of things I want to ask you.
Oh, please do.
Off the record.
We'll dive into it. Yeah.
And then the other two, I watched Heartstopper on Netflix in its entirety within 2 days.
Yeah.
And my best friend was over and we watched it screaming, clutching each other. Very gay. And I am also on day 12 of watching Hulu's Crush over and over again.
Yes.
So I didn't watch it yesterday, but sorry. But
you'll make up for it today with two
I'll
viewings.
Watch it
yeah.
two times today. It's true. I will do that.
Well, let's break this down. Is this you doing your part to help promote, you know,
gay media?
Gay media and the success of that so that Hulu keeps making gay content. Do you just love watching gay stuff over and over again? Is this part of the gay agenda? What's going on here every day?
You know what? I would hope that somewhere in my subconscious it is for furthering the gay agenda and supporting queer media. But I'm just dumb. And so I did this with Happiest Season, and that was the first thing that I did, and I watched it actually.
And you live to tell about it.
Yeah, Sammy, you are dumb.
Yeah, I'm so dumb, you guys. I'm just a dumb dummy, and doing these things just
only,
breaks my brain.
Only you and Clea Duvall are watching that every day. Dude, for a month.
I watched it more than a month because I watched it several times in November 1st. I don't know what happened. I was furious the whole time. But hey, if it counts as a view, then it counts as a view on those metrics right. that that the internet takes. So it's fine. But I'm having a way better time with Crush.
Well, Crush is the superior film for sure.
Quite
Hulu's
good.
Hulu's only getting better and better with the rep.
Yeah, which is really nice.
So when you're watching things, do you catch something new every time? Does your opinion change? Kind of like how, you know, the more you watch The L Word, the better Jenny Schechter is, like anything like that?
Oh, I love Jenny from the beginning, so I'm glad to hear it.
We're well, a Jenny a Apologist company. Podcast.
Oh, hell
yes,
yeah.
Officially.
Yes, please. Oh, Jenny. Sweet ding dong, Jenny. Oh, love her to death. Truly, she's dead now. but yeah. Yeah, I do notice things. And there are times when like a character like really annoys me during a viewing and then like a viewing later, they're fully endeared to me, and I'm like, oh, that was a really good line read. like what is it?
Yeah, they're doing so good.
And I was just like, oh my gosh. And then I'll like follow them on Instagram, and then like a week later I'll be like, why am I following this person on Instagram? They are 20 years old.
Yeah.
Are you a big K-Stew fan?
Yes, unfortunately. Yes.
Okay. Well, for me, that'd be the only reason to watch Happiest Season.
Oh, God.
Over and over again.
Aubrey Plaza.
And Aubrey Plaza.
Well, yeah, yes. Oh, yes. Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, I like,
you're right.
I like those two equally. And it's not unfortunate, though. Like, Jesus is a very talented person. At my job, we interview folks all of the time. And she was one of the folks that we interviewed. And I just passed out. Can't handle it.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't handle it.
I couldn't make eye contact.
No. Anything. And it was, like, virtual. There's no reason to... Anyway.
Oh, no. We've had some crushes on the virtual chat.
Oh, go on.
I
was full on sweating during Desiree Akhavan. Just
Carolyn got perspiring. We all got wine drunk to deal with it.
I got wine drunk. Yeah. I was spiraling like before, during, and after.
Oh, beautiful.
And yeah.
Well, let's get to know you, Sammy. I do have to admit that I have been aware of you for a very long time. You're very good friends with my best friend ever, Maynard. And I've always been like, who's this dyke? Like, I'm just like, I didn't get to meet you ever when I visited LA. And I've just, this was an opportunity for me to get to know you and make you be my friend on the record.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you didn't have to go to this length, but I appreciate it. Whenever sent the text to the three of us, I was just like, me on a podcast? I'm a nobody. And so it was thank you.
I mean, you are a podcast producer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's it like being on the other? Do you listen to podcasts or is it just too like overkill at that point?
I do now. I didn't before. So I think I spent like the last 4 years not listening to podcasts at all. Because I was like super uninterested, but then I started listening again. I think it was Steph Tolov. Do you know Steph Tolov?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, her podcast, Steph Infection, is so gross, but it piqued my curiosity, so I listened to it, and then it just like opened up like the floodgates. So I listened to Snack Time, Lindsay Adams' podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing that soon.
Oh, just great. Those are like gross things in food are like very easy gets for me. And I started listening to like Couples Therapy with Naomi and Andy.
I love that one.
And Best Friends with Shashir and Nicole. And yeah. And so, I guest on podcasts. I have guested on podcasts too. And it's always really silly. And I'm always like, oh, Sammy, you would edit that out. You would edit that out. You say like too many times. Why did you cough into the mic instead of turning away? Like, it's like all this stuff. But yeah, it's silly.
So you like LA podcasts, sounds like.
I do.
It's real East Coast, West Coast feud, it sounds like.
It is, and I'm sorry, but I will not promote this podcast.
We're going to have to bleep out your name, too.
Oh, do it. How fun would that be?
No one will ever know. That would be fun if we had a mystery guest, kind of like the masked singer.
Yeah, with a voice
like
distorter.
The mask. Yeah.
I would love that. That's a fun
Not
podcast
Not even a voice
idea.
Distorter. It's just like people just have to guess based on what we talk about. Like, who is this person?
I haven't watched
The Masked Singer.
I haven't watched The Masked Singer either.
Yeah, you love it, Carolyn.
No, I'm constantly pitching shows based on competition shows I've never watched. Like, I did a show based on like Shark Tank and never watched Shark Tank.
That's true.
I'm like, I think I get it, right?
It's pretty simple.
I think that's really fun though, because like you don't have the like the silly parameters of the show because you may not even like that anyways.
Right. Exactly.
I like it.
So you've been in the podcast game for a while.
Mm-hmm. Since 2012.
Dang. All right. Yeah. Well, based on that, what are we doing wrong?
You're doing everything right. The only thing wrong is inviting me to be on your podcast.
Okay. That was our first mistake. Yeah. We'll hear about it in the reviews.
Oh, goody.
Apologies to all our listeners.
Sorry, everyone.
Do you look at reviews for the podcasts that you produce or ever work on?
I do now because I work for Entertainment Weekly, and I'm curious as to what everyone has said like before me because I'm petty. So, yeah, I look at those things. And then like sometimes I'll look at reviews of my friend's podcast, and if there's like a severely bad one, I'll leave a good one just to like balance it out.
Oh,
Only if there's a bad one? You're not just supporting your friend, Sammy?
No, I'm busy.
No, that's good, because you wait until there's the bad one. Like, you don't use up your one review. You make sure you do it so it's on top of the bad one. And I would love for you to head over to Apple Podcasts after this and give us a good one.
I will leave a positive review for you.
Thank you, Sammy.
Hey, you're welcome.
Well, I guess the interview's done. That's just the whole point.
We got what we need. Bye. Before we get into anything, I need to hear from you about your spaghetti obsession. I've heard through the grapevine, the spaghetti vine, if you will. What's up? Why is this your favorite form of noodle? I've never heard of someone just loving spaghetti or pischetti.
Don't even pischetti.
Or I don't know enough children.
Yeah. I guess that's it.
I'm sorry. I'm not clowning on spaghetti. Spaghetti's great, but I do want to know more.
One, I'm very curious as to what this spaghetti vine that the news is traveling that you're in tune to, but you don't like spaghetti that much to the point where you're confronting me about it.
I didn't mean to come off confrontational.
No, that's okay.
Okay, really, I do have harsh furrowed brows just in my natural state and a deep tenor. But I, no, I was just texting with Ever and said, oh, we're going to talk to Sammy soon. Ever said, talk about their love for spaghetti and spelled it in such a wild way.
Oh, go on.
And said, I don't know how to spell it. It's S-S-P-E-G-H-E-T-T-I-E.
Oh, Ever Maynard.
Spigatai.
Favorite baby. Well, I am Filipino, and spaghetti was oddly like picked up culturally. And so there's like a version of spaghetti. It's Filipino spaghetti, shock. And it's like sweeter than regular spaghetti, and it has chopped up hot dogs in it. And it is so fun to eat. It feels like Chuck E. Cheese in your mouth, because it does kind of taste like Chuck E. Cheese pizza sauce in there, and it's not like marinara, so it's like it is kind of a bolognese feel, because there's still like meat and carrots and tomatoes and stuff, but it's really, really fun. My mom makes a really, really good version of it, and like, I mean, you can't really go too wrong with pasta a lot, so yeah, spaghetti is just nice. It feels good. It sounds good when you eat it. It sounds good when you're making it. Why not? Also, here it is. I got a spaghetti tattoo.
Oh, you have a spaghetti tattoo?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Dang. Yeah, yeah.
Did you screenshot that, Mel?
Oh, wait. Boom. Okay.
That's pretty committed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love spaghetti, by the way.
Okay.
I'm not fighting you on this. I don't like Americanized spaghetti. Actually, Persians have adopted spaghetti too, and they call it macaroni.
Okay.
But it is spaghetti noodles, and like, you saute onions, garlic, you add turmeric before you add anything into it. Then you add ground beef, and then the tomato sauce and the spaghetti, and it's there's so much flavor in it. You put saffron in it, and then they make like a really crispy bottom. Like, do you know what tadik is? It's like a Persian, like, it's the crispy rice you make around the pot of rice you make, and then they flip the pot, and then it's like an appetizer, like the very crispy dried rice. But they do that with the quote unquote macaroni.
That's
spaghetti.
Nice.
So you get spaghetti tadik too on top of it, and it's so good.
That so it's like great. A very specific dish that you're into. It's not like you're like spaghetti with cream cheese for breakfast, spaghetti with cut up hot dogs for lunch, and spaghetti with fish for dinner, like, you know.
I think you just gave Sammy some ideas.
Yeah, I am.
See, your mind wandered.
So hungry. I mean, if I had like cooked spaghetti noodles available, they would find their way into whatever I'm eating, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's just easy to add. It fills you up.
Is there a good spaghetti spot in LA?
There are a few Italian places that I like. Blair's on Hyperion is nice. La Pergoletta, that has locations on Hillhurst and Sunset, is nice. Michelangelo's kind of has a more like red and white checkered tablecloth vibe. That's I think on Rowena. I'm kind of like triangulating where I live. That's probably just
okay. Enough. We don't want them to find you.
I'm more of a gnocchi gal.
Nice.
Love a gnocchi. Love a ravioli.
Yeah, stuffed. I like how versatile gnocchi is, that people are just making gnocchi out of anything. I'm like, great, I'm here for it. I'll have all the gnocchis.
What has your favorite gnocchi version been?
Sweet potato gnocchi. So when I got married the second time, second and last time.
Oh, brag.
it was like this elopement thing, and it was this big package, and you were like 3 days in the desert, whatever, and for your wedding night, the guy said he would cook you like whatever meal you want. And part of the meal was sweet potato gnocchi. And I made this guy have to figure out how to make sweet potato gnocchi from scratch for the first time in his life.
It was great.
Yeah, okay. It was great.
I love that. That's a fun challenge for that person to just be like, yeah, I'll cook whatever you want. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right. I mean, he said whatever, and I said, is this okay? Because it was like, you know, I wanted duck, I wanted sweet potato gnocchi, and Brussels sprouts roasted with bacon, and...
Okay, Carolyn.
Like, damn, yeah, that's good.
And he did that all. I mean, to me, that's, like, a beautiful meal, and I asked him, you know, do people, like, request crazy things? And he's like, you know, it's a lot of burgers. No. It's like sometimes mac and cheese, like a lot of comfort foods. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm just like, you know, picking recipes out of Bon Appetit. Like,
I'm thinking about this dive bar in Chicago that had, it was like the diviest dive bar. And they had a happy hour, and it was like $3 PBRs and $5 bottomless spaghetti.
Oh, hell yes.
And in college I used to go there.
Are they still open?
You hear that's Sammy booking their plane ticket now.
I wish I'm gonna find out the name of it. It is one of the first Instagrams I ever made, because I remember I posted it and wrote no regrets. I vividly remember posting that in like 2013, 2012 or something.
That is fantastic.
Spaghetti. Yeah, just a vat of it.
How was it, though?
Polish dive bar. It was great.
Oh, I love it.
The more you drank, the better it tasted, you know?
That's gorgeous.
Sammy, I have to ask you, have you ever Lady and the Tramped anybody?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Is that your go-to move?
No. Have you done it? Have you done any Lady and the Tramping at all, ever?
I'm sure I have.
I have done it.
It's not. Yeah. It's not great.
Allie. If there's a sauce.
If
you
there's
know.
A sauce, yeah, yeah. Because then the sauce, it has to go somewhere.
And you have to like trust that the person on the other end is like going at the same speed as you. Otherwise, it's a mess.
And then they're waiting for you,
right? Yeah, and then are you going to kiss with half chewed stuff in your mouth, or are you going to swallow?
Not French kiss.
I mean, maybe not. Maybe yes.
Right.
Maybe you have.
Maybe I have. It's a full on transfer mouth to mouth. That's how you actually get it fully.
Love it.
You can go from Lady and the Tramping to mommy birding pretty fast.
Oh no, that's no good. I'll do it.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Also, hard pivot. You worked on Historical Roasts on Netflix.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that? Because I realized as I was prepping for this that I think someone I went to school with, I went to school for TV writing and producing in Chicago, and someone in my program, Ryan Pig, is that his show?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
That's our show. Yeah.
Wait, walk us through that. You sold a show to Netflix.
I did.
Hello. Why are we talking about spaghetti?
Because you asked.
No, I know.
Historical Roast started as a show in the back of Meltdown Comics in a venue called Nerd Melt. And Eddie Firth and Ryan Pig, the hosts of the live show, approached me and asked me to produce. And so I did. And we made the show. We made a spinoff called Fictional Roast. And then about, I think it was 1 or 2 years after we started the show, we got approached by this person, AJ, who I was working with already. And he was just like, let's take this out to pitch. And so we did. And then a year after that, okay, so it was 1 year after the show started, I think, because AJ took the show out to pitch. And it took a year for a production company to take it. And then we made a damn show on for Netflix.
Love that. Congratulations.
Hey, thank
Who's
you.
Your favorite roast?
Oh, on Netflix, I think Freddie Mercury is the most fun.
I want to watch the Anne Frank one myself.
Oh, you know
I still
what?
Have to watch.
That one's pretty strong.
That one looks real good.
Well, yeah, because we got Gilbert to play Lara.
Yeah.
Oh, that show
was so much fun.
Doing the live show was so fun because we had costumes for everybody, and walking into the green room, we see all of our comedian friends like dressed up in these stupid ass costumes, being very, very serious, and it was just so delightful, especially like when we're doing fictional roasts, like we had like the Disney villains, Disney princesses, Star Wars. And so like someone had like full face Yoda, like it was just, I loved it. It was wonderful.
Yeah. Also congrats on getting a show in before the pandemic like that.
Thank you.
That worked out.
Thank you. Well, yeah. I work with Otsko, and we got Let's Go Otsko picked up by Quibi. And so we spent the first 3 weeks of lockdown.
How's that going?
Well, going so well. we're hoping for a release date. But yeah, Quibi ate shit before we could make the show, but whatever.
Yeah. So then is Quibi Roku now? And would it be like,
I don't
Could
know.
Be a Roku show?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't really kept up with it. I think after Quibi just ate it, I was like, all right, well, we'll probably just take this property and do something better with it anyway.
I was a Quibi subscriber, I'll say.
Hey,
right away, right when it came out.
Wasn't.
But like the free trial?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Oh man. Melanie's got seven emails lined up for back-to-back free trials on Quibi.
Hell yeah, that's the way to do it.
Okay, I want to circle back to before when you said you wouldn't want to do a long distance relationship again. Mm-hmm. Do you have a long distance relationship horror story?
I have several because I'm so gay. My first long distance relationship was with somebody I met on Tumblr.
That's so gay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, what genre of Tumblr?
Oh, gosh. They were like semi-popular. I think it was kind of like the hardcore scene, but like pretty person stuff, I think. I think they were blogging too.
Like pretty girl with the camera up taking a shot from way above, or was that a little more emo earlier?
That was a little bit emo earlier. It's like whatever that was, like evolved into this. Whatever that was. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I know the era, but I don't know how to talk about it.
Yeah, same.
Or describe it. Like it just had to be there.
Yeah. It's like there's specific makeup style, but I can't describe it. So they live in Virginia, and so I was going back there every now and again. They're a pizza delivery driver, and they didn't get any days off, so I sat in the back of their car while they were delivering pizza, but they put blankets up because they were like afraid that somebody was gonna catch them, and then they fed me pizza in the back of their back seat.
And people around Virginia were like, why is One Piece missing?
Right. From my pizza. You just made it smaller. And then we broke up, then dated again, and then broke up. It was very silly of me. And then another person that I dated, I met while I was back home in Colorado for my parents' wedding anniversary. And we met off of, I don't remember if it was Tinder or Bumble. We met off there. But yeah, we didn't talk for an entire month after we met. And then they talked to me. And then that was it. So we were dating for a year. Then they moved to LA. No, wait, we were dating for a little bit. Then they moved to LA with me. And then they moved to San Francisco to go to school. So that was kind of a double double long distance thing.
Wow.
And then we broke up. And then I dated somebody who is the producer of a blank, 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 blank. And so it was long distance.
The Happiest Season movie.
Yeah, with the Happiest Season movie cast. Oh, I wish. Never Mackenzie.
Never.
That jerk. But so they were touring, and so that was like long distance. And so I was just like, okay, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I could see why you made your rule, but I can also see why you're kind of breaking it.
It's
dyke culture.
It really is. I'm silly. I'm just a silly person, I guess.
Yeah, I did a show the other day. I have some jokes about long distance relationships in my stand up and ask the audience if anyone's been in a long distance relationship. And this was at the Rosemont, so it's like a lot of gay guys, but there was a smattering of lesbians, and they were, of course, they all like, it looked like they were cheering, but like traumatized. Like, yeah. It was like, ah! Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah.
Only the dykes.
Well, I think that's like, oops, sorry. Part of like, Gus, hey buddy.
Gus,
do you want to see him?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's his birthday today.
Oh my god! Happy birthday, Gus!
Oh,
that's a fluffy boy.
Thank you. My god.
He's 13 years old, and he smells like he's been dead for 2 years.
Okay. I don't know if it's the oysters, but that dog is so cute. I'm like tearing up right now.
Carolyn's
like,
crying.
I'm kind of crying because your dog's too cute.
He's,
wait, you know what? You should
like
be crying.
Stupid cute. He's stupid cute.
Yeah. So cute. I saw that y'all had a run-in with a couple coyotes.
Yeah. And that's not our first run-in with coyotes.
Really?
Yeah.
We don't know LA life. How likely is it? Like, where are there a lot? Are they just roaming around? What's happening? Yeah. Do they get close to Gus?
Yesterday I made a mistake and I was trying to walk him a lot because he wasn't going poo. So it was longer than we wanted. And it was like 11. It was 11:30. And we're crossing around to a part of the neighborhood where I know like coyotes. Well, coyotes are just kind of all over my neighborhood. And so we saw them, and then I immediately turned and, like, kind of, like, walked fast, but I kept Gus on the ground. And then I turned around, and the coyotes, too, were following us. So I picked Gus up, and I did not keep my cool. And I just, like, I crossed the street really fast, and then we, like, ran down the street. And I was, like, looking over my shoulder, which is not a smart thing to do when you're running with a dog in your hands. And the coyotes were, like, ascending. So I was just like, fuck. So like, I ran as fast as I could and then got inside. But yeah, there are a lot of coyotes in my neighborhood and you're not supposed to flee because that just like turns something on in the coyote head of, oh, you're prey for sure. I'm going to go get you. And then, yeah. You know, Gus is a small fluffy dog that probably looks very delightful to a coyote. So I didn't do a good job. I shout, though. The fear shouts is so weird.
You just live to tell about it.
Yeah,
so.
That's very true. And the first time we encountered a coyote, it was when I first moved to California. I lived in Valencia, and like there was a weird man-made lake in the back of where we lived. And there were coyotes, obviously, because they like water and stuff. And I was looking down at my phone, and I looked up, and there was a coyote, like, not even 10 feet in front of us. And I got scared, and I barked. And then and then I picked Gus up, and I ran away.
Do the bark.
It sounds more like you're trying to be its leader. Than he's trying like, to scare
hey,
it away.
Well, here's the thing about like learning what you sound like when you're actually scared. I always thought that I would have kind of a, you know, not a small dog's bark, but I have a small dog bark. Turns out.
That's a yap.
Yeah, I am a yappy dog and it's very humiliating to know that about myself.
Okay, we're talking coyotes. Let's broaden it to dyke culture in LA. What's it like? What's the scene like? We were supposed to be there spending a week in April 2020. Still need to reschedule that.
Yeah,
Carolyn,
I mean, I know you're not into the local dykes, but if you were to try and find them, where are you picking them up?
I don't know. I don't think I've successfully. So I've been out in LA since 2011, and I haven't successfully like incorporated myself into the scene because I feel like, and this was like, you know, obviously I was insecure and nervous, like, but like when I used to go out, it never really felt like I was like embraced by the community. Like, it was hard for me to find, like, I don't know. Like, the first community that I found out that really embraced me was at the comic book store. With the comedy and stuff. And so, I don't know if it was just, at the time, I was feeling that I just wasn't cool enough looking to be embraced by them. And so I kind of like just like took that and was just like, all right, well, I'm never going to try then.
So you got some tattoos.
I already had them.
You're one of the coolest looking people.
I know. I'm trying to imagine like how you ever looked uncool. And I'm having a hard time trying to wrap my head around it because you're the cool kid in this scene right now.
Go on.
Sorry,
guys.
Mel. No offense.
I know.
Thanks.
I've been trumped.
It's just tattoos. They're all really stupid, actually, if you look closely. And I think that that's maybe what the lesbians did when I arrived. They're like, that looks like a stupid bear. That's that looks like barbed wire.
Spaghetti?
Yeah. Spaghetti was recent.
Okay.
Spaghetti was
I
last
think you're
year.
Too cool.
Maybe. I don't think so.
When I talk to Ever about the dating scene in LA, all they ever have to say is they hate it because it's all quote unquote marketing lesbians.
Like
I don't know what that means. Just marketing. Like they all work in marketing and they all go to West Hollywood and okay. wear their brunch hats. And it's okay. like it's too much cringe.
Based on Sammy's reaction, I'm thinking that marketing lesbians maybe isn't a thing.
Yeah.
It's just Ever's
wondering.
Ever's
what does that mean?
The Ever's LA marketing. Categorizing. Yeah.
I feel like it is. And sorry to generalize, but you didn't let me in, you fucks. But they all look like they're taking their cues stylistically from the L word a little bit.
The planet. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wait, which L word? Like the OG or Gen Q?
I think.
And there are a lot of different looks.
I think the OG, because like if you look at the okay. evolution of style since the OG, like you end up there.
Right.
Big hats, leather. And it's fucking 70 degrees all of the time here. Why are you wearing leather, idiot?
I'm saying. Yeah. And
they all like kind of just do what they did in the L word. They go and get brunch and, you know, hang out.
Talk about nipple confidence.
Nipple confidence. Or like they wish that they were that interesting. This is all so rude. And I don't, I'm sure everybody's like very, very
Excuse
nice.
Excuse me, no. This is directly to the people who excluded my new non-binary dyke friend.
Thank you so
much.
Don't
mess with my friend, Sammy.
Yeah.
Drag them.
I mean, there's also a possibility that I wasn't open to being friends with them because there was somebody who was writing sketches. And they invited me to be on set and then like wrote a part for me. So there's a possibility that maybe I just rejected them as well. I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, I definitely notice when I look at pictures of like on Instagram, I'll see like the stereotypical LA lesbian. And it always reminds me of the L word. And then I think, wait, when I was watching the L word, and I was like a teenager, I'm sure all of them were inspired to move there because of the show. And I remember thinking, I'm going to get a hat and I'm going to move to LA. Like, I'm going to look like this. Mm-hmm. I want this. Like, we need better representation is what I'm saying. We need more shows in different cities to get some more variety of dykes out there.
I would love that very much.
Yeah, and I also find that personality and appearance like rarely line up for me. I mean, I used to be like so easily intimidated by anybody who did have that kind of like L word lesbian look like a certain cool and be like, oh no, they're going to be like mean. They're going to make me feel like I don't belong. And then once you start talking to these people, it's like, oh, okay, you're not at all what I expected, or like you're really a nerd, or you're actually really funny, or you're actually really this. At least that's been my experience. Once I decide like, okay, I will engage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Sure. Although everybody that I've chosen to engage with just like have personality clashes. So it's just like, okay, well, I don't think I'm missing out on anything.
Yeah. I mean, LA's weird to begin with.
LA's weird. I don't want to.
Yeah. How much of it is LA and how much of it is lesbian? Like,
yeah, right.
That is true. I think I was like drunkenly like talking very loud about how the difference between LA and New York. I've only been to New York twice. I'm like, oh, well, LA just does this and that. And I'm just like, that is like one thing where I recognized that when I was talking about like the LA queer community, I was just like, but it's just, I'm just describing LA. There's no reason to like call it a sub-label. I'm just describing people in LA.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about my own shit. Like,
do you want to talk about it?
No, because I don't want to alienate anyone. I don't want to talk about bodies. I don't know. I was going to talk about how I felt like for the longest time, I couldn't go to LA because I was too fat.
Oh, buddy.
Like, the lesbians, though. Like, look, they were all so skinny on the L word, you know?
Yeah, they made you feel like you have to look and hang out and say certain things and be a certain way to even be looked at. It sucked. It sucks. Yeah. Probably. I don't go out anymore.
Yeah. I feel like that show really did some damage. I don't know. Something with the aesthetic of our culture. I like Carolyn's going to Girls in Wonderland, this like Orlando. It's kind of like the East Coast dinosaur, I guess, like pool parties, just a bunch of lesbians in bathing suits. And I could go. I could make it work. But talk about feeling weird about your body. I do too. Like, I also am not dying to get down there because I've seen the pictures and it's a lot of like hard bodied, like lesbian. Like, they have the L word look down there too.
Some, but it's not everybody. And there, so this was one thing. I mean, Girls in Wonderland changed so much for me. And I'm excited to be going back because it was like going into it and looking at the pictures. I'm like, this isn't my scene. I'm going to feel so much like an outsider. I'm going to be so uncomfortable the whole time. Couldn't be further from the truth. Like, you know, one of the people I spent the most time with there was a trans lesbian who is a little bit older. Like, I thought I was going to be the oldest person there. And it wasn't like that. And I've made so many friends, and like every comedy show that I have, like almost every single one, there's like somebody I met from Girls in Wonderland who comes out to it. Like, they are all so supportive, so nice, all different backgrounds, just like very inclusive. And that's not, there's something about like, I don't know, maybe we need like better PR or like image consultants as a queer community, because it's not what it seems.
Well, maybe we just need to, maybe I just need to open my heart to the LA queer community.
Or just like make more frequent trips to New York.
Which I think I should definitely be doing for sure.
Yeah.
Have you ever, I'm guessing that you haven't done like a dinosaur or anything?
No.
Have you done I wouldn't peg you for this, but have you ever done Burning Man?
No.
I feel like everyone in LA has done Burning Man, so.
No, I don't like festivals.
I think it's Coachella.
Oh, Coachella.
It's just, again, it's one of those things where like, I know that if I go, I'll have a good time. But like thinking about all of the logistics of going and how much money it's going to be and how many times I will actually be irritated, I'm just like, I'll just stay home. I don't need to spend this money to just like be irritated somewhere else. Not that I'm always
irritated. What's your sign?
I was waiting for this.
Scorpio?
Mm-hmm.
Did you just guess that?
Yeah. No, I didn't guess it. It's on their About Me website. Yeah.
I have it open right now, and I missed it.
Oh,
you're
at the bottom.
A Scorpio sun, Leo moon, and what's the rising?
Taurus.
I love that.
Thanks. Yeah. I also have a Scorpio tattoo. It's very obnoxious.
Yes. Oh, my God. These are cool tattoos.
Wow. Take another screenshot, Mel.
I know. People are going to see. People are going to love this. One second.
So, I mean, is that part of dating for you, explaining your tattoos?
I guess so. Yeah. I think it does happen.
Yeah.
And you know, like when I was younger, my first tattoo was this, and it's Tegan and Sarah lyrics, which I'm
This is the screenshot. One second.
Oh, no. Oh boy.
Carolyn is a Tegan and Sarah super fan.
I'm a super fan.
I am literally just 1 degree away from like going to their house, and I just can't cross that threshold, and it's like it bothers me, but it's fine.
What did you think of Hey, I'm Just Like You? Because I love that album.
It's a fun album. I think that they're...
Yeah.
I was really excited when it came out. I can't remember, like, songs specifically right now. But I think it does... It did its Tegan and Sarah job, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was really fun. Yeah. But then, there are some times where there's, like... I don't know if they get experimental or they just try to be with it. It's just like, buddies.
Right.
Don't be with it. You have your own thing.
Yeah.
You've got big old Tegan and Sarah tattoos across both arms.
Yeah, and it's the magic you bring in between all you imply. Did I pretend like I knew what that meant when I was 18? Yes, I did. Do I still pretend like I know what that means to me now? No, I don't.
We're done pretending.
Yeah, we're done pretending. And then, when I started getting tattoos, it's just like, oh yeah, I only want tattoos that are special to me. Like, nobody else should have these tattoos. I took it very seriously. And then I got the hell over myself and then started just getting tattoos for fun. And I'm having the best time of my life.
Looks good. I like it.
Hey, thank you very much.
Do you have tattoos? I mean, like, we can see the ones on your arms, but are there ones on your body that, like, people discover once you're, like, getting down with them and then it kind of, like, is a showstopper and they, like, stop the action to ask about it?
Not necessarily. I have a quill and ink on my side. Do I write? No. But when I was younger, I thought I would be a writer. And then I have... I just have a key on my sternum and then a misspelled, missing a word, French quote across my collarbone.
Wait, what is it?
Okay, so the whole experience is I was a big fan of the movie Amelie, and I was hanging out in my friend's dorm. I didn't go to college. I was a townie. And there was a whiteboard in the common room, and so I was drunk. And I wrote on the board the quote from Amelie. I won't say it in French because my French pronunciation is terrible. But it was, these times are hard for dreamers, right? And then we went upstairs, and then the next day we came downstairs, and somebody underneath it wrote just the same, it is that we dream. En français, tout le même, il fait qu'un rêve. And I thought that was really beautiful. That, like, somebody, like, responded, like, oh, wow, that's so awesome. And I was thinking about getting the whole entire exchange across my chest, but I am a small person, so I only got it is that we dream. But I think what may be on here is it is a dream or something, like, less. Just, like, askew a little bit. It's like, all right, well, can't date a French woman then.
Yeah, no hookups with... the French.
Yeah. Actually, I was dating somebody who speaks French, and she was the one that pointed it out. I was just like, that's wrong and misspelled. I was like, okay, thank you very much.
Great. Would you tell somebody that information? I don't know. I mean, I think I would tell somebody that, and then I would regret it after the fact. Like if you're with someone where maybe, like, English wasn't their first language, and then they had a tattoo, and you're like, oh, was this supposed to say this? And then, like, after pointing out, I'd be like, I should have just let them go their life thinking, you know, it's like either they know or they don't know, but you don't want to be the one to.
I mean, but why not? Why keep them in the dark?
Yeah. Okay. So it's better to know.
Yeah. Good. Well, because, like, you know, if you're with somebody, that it would be easier to hear it from. Well, is it easier to hear bad permanent news from somebody you love or a stranger?
Stranger.
That's a life question
for me.
Yeah. Stranger for you?
Yeah.
We do have a question for you that we want to ask that we've been asking our guests recently. What's a part of straight culture that you would like to appropriate?
I already appropriated this. It's beer pong.
Hey,
that, I love that because I do like it,
dude. When you're in town,
in the spaces I'm in, no one ever plays it.
I have a beer pong table.
Oh, see, because y'all have garages, space, land,
plenty of space,
like
here.
Enough
plenty
room.
Of space.
Yeah, look at that.
Wow,
that's wow. Yeah,
anytime
that's
you're in town,
two
right?
of my apartments already. So you have a beer pong table?
I do.
Like you made one?
No, I bought it.
Does it have designated like kind of circles for where the cups go and mm-hmm, everything? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you play Flip Cup?
Yes.
That was another
yes.
personal fave.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, Ever for my birthday gave me a beer pong champion like medal. And then there's people that I know that put on this like huge Flip Cup tournament in their backyard. And it's like 30 participants or whatever. And 1 year I got second place. So I have a medal for that too.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've never been into drinking games, and now I know why. It's straight culture. That's it why.
I'm sure a lot of queers have an aversion just because of, you know, the territory that comes with it. But it's so much fun.
Oh, I love it.
I love great a drinking game. Yeah. Or like Kings, but that was a little more intense.
Oh, Kings Cup. Oh, man. We Remember? Used to play that so bad. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Whew.
I think for me, it's a control thing. I'm like, I like to be in control of the pace that I'm drinking. I don't want to leave it up to my hand-eye coordination. Which my dexterity.
We can appropriate Kings and call it Queens. How about that?
Oh. All right.
I know, that's gendered. Yeah, sorry. Sammy, never mind.
Jess,
we can call it Jess. We're calling it Jesters.
Wow, that's nice.
And that's more gender inclusive.
That's nice.
Yes. Oh, court jesters were the OG NBs, right?
Honestly, yeah, probably.
Carolyn,
everybody loves a jester.
I love a jester.
We're comedians. We love a jester.
Yeah, right. We are jesters.
Jester exclusive radical.
Femicunts.
Yep. I'm a jerf. Okay.
What a time we had, y'all.
Yeah. I feel like so much ground was covered. Mm. We are friends now. And so mission complete.
Great.
We did it.
And all our listeners now see you as a friend. Thank you for coming on a podcast and not being on the other end of it. How do you feel?
I feel good. I feel like we could talk for many more minutes.
Yes.
Love it. Yeah. Do you want people to follow you on social media?
Oh, sure. I'm at @it_your_sam on Instagram. And Twitter, I think, is the same thing.
Hell okay, yeah. I hate to be the one to point this out, but that's grammatically incorrect.
Yeah, that's...
Did you know that?
Were you aware?
Oh, no. I didn't know.
You don't have your handle tattooed on you, do you?
Guess what?
Nuh-uh.
No, not yet.
Because I genuinely... It could go either way.
Follow... follow Sammy, and you know, if you don't live in LA, maybe, you know, shoot your shot.
Wow, that was rude. I deserve that.
And you can follow us at Dyking Out everywhere. You can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
Hey, you can follow me at Melody Kamali.
Sammy, it's been a joy, a pleasure, a privilege. Thanks for dyking out with us. Thank you to our listeners for dyking out with us.
Bye.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did it turn to the past?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Sheridan, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.